This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
We are back in the Beat Lab, 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway, post-draft edition. Eddie Pascal along with our Senior Vice President of Draft Analysis, Kyle Martin. So Kyle, it's been a long couple days, hasn't it?
Oh man, it was a long weekend, to put it lightly.
It's been long. So over the past 96 hours, this roster turnover for the Silver and Black has continued. Nine draft picks in the 2018 class. And really, it's 11, though. You throw in Martavis Bryant and Ryan Switzer. We've talked, I feel like the theme of the offseason, and we've talked about it time and time again, is change, right? This roster is changing. This culture is changing. Everything is changing. And that roster, you know, continued its overhaul this weekend. Like we said, nine guys. So I think the best way to start, the most logical place to start, is let's just look at them. We're not going to go one by one, but let's just list off the nine guys. First round, Colton Miller. Second round, PJ Hall. Third round, Brandon Parker. And then also in the third round, Arden Key. Fourth round, Nick Nelson. Fifth round, Big Mo Hurst. Also in the fifth round, Johnny Townsend. Azeem Victor in the sixth. And then rounding out in the seventh with Marcel Aitman. Okay, so I feel like we have to start, now that we have all the guys out there, Colton Miller, right? The guy that everyone, this draft class, for better or for worse, is always going to be wrapped around the first guy taken, obviously. So Raiders trade back from 10 to 15, pick up Colton Miller. When we were sitting there and we found out about the trade and then found out who we were picking at 15, you were actually at the Fox Theater, so
was quite blindsided, to be honest. It was not who I saw the Raiders drafting, but I'm more than happy with the pick.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of the prevailing sentiment, right, is that this is a guy that, you know, I think we were kind of caught off guard a little bit when Colton Miller is the name that is read out, but I think that you kind of hit it right on the head where you're like, all right, maybe not a guy that people were expecting, maybe not a guy that a lot of people know, but let's take 30 seconds. Let's look back. And, I mean, he fills a position of need on this team, right? And he's also, from everything we've heard, an absolute freak athlete, a behemoth of a dude, 6'8". You guys make fun of me all the time, but I love the offensive line. I'm such a big believer in the offensive line. So anytime you can, you know, bolster that offensive line, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, to your point earlier about change, no, this is a new era in Raiders football. The one thing that never changes in the NFL is that if you have a good offensive line, your chances of being successful are way higher than if you have no one in the trenches.
You're not winning anything unless you have a dominant line.
No, you can't run, anything. You can't pass. It all starts there, and then you work your way out.
Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's like we said, you hit it right on the head, right? A name not a lot of us were expecting, but, you know, definitely an intriguing name. So day one is in the books, and then we move on to day two, PJ Hall and Brandon Parker. Oh, not to forget Arden Key. So we'll just do real quick. I mean, like I said, we're not going to go down one by one, but PJ Hall is a guy that really interests me.
I would agree with that, man. I truthfully didn't know a whole lot about PJ Hall prior to the pick.
Which, to be fair, not a lot of us did. Houston State kind of coming out of nowhere. If you had asked me last week who PJ Hall was, I likely wouldn't have had a great answer for you. I was like, maybe my neighbor? I don't know. But
you watch this guy's tape, and I saw an insane highlight where, you know, it was a run play against whatever team he was facing, and the running back took off down the left sideline and opposite direction from the side PJ was lined up on. But this guy tracked the running back 55 yards and made the tackle. A defensive lineman running down a running back that far is crazy to me.
So that is about as perfect a segue as there is. Producer Trav, does that play sound familiar? So we actually, teaser, just talked with PJ Hall's head coach, Casey Keeler, and I said, Coach, what was the moment where you realized this dude can play in the NFL, PJ Hall? And no lie, he literally brought up that play. He said, I knew this dude was good, but when I saw that, I was like, all right, this guy is meant for really big things, and I think he's going to produce on Sunday. So not only that, right, I love a big man with speed. I'm on the record. I love the big fellas that get out in space. This dude is, like, stupid strong, too. He squatted 700 pounds, And his coach actually told us it's probably closer to 750 than 700, which is like,
oh my goodness,
sickening. How much can you squat right now, do you think?
Oh man, you put this on the spot at the combine too with my bench press. I'm definitely not coming near 700 pounds in the squat game. I've got some chicken legs. I'm a slender guy. The thought of putting up 700 pounds on the squat rack makes me want to curl over and die.
All right, realistically, though.
Honestly, I can't give you a number, to be honest. I'm not hitting leg day regularly. I'll tell you that, though.
That's fair. Well, I would suggest hitting it a little more often, but that's neither here nor there. Moving on. So, like I said, yeah, PJ Hall's a dude that I'm really interested to see how he pans out. And, you know, he's just an exciting prospect, right? He's a dude that is raw, but not in, like, he needs to be molded kind of way. He's had stupid production. You look at the numbers he put up at college, and they look like a video game numbers, right? He had 20-something, 20-plus sacks, 45 tackles for loss, and this dude's a beast on special teams, too. He had, I think it was 14 or 15 block kicks, punts, field goals total, which is insane. And those are the kind of things that they might not be super flashy. They might not, you know, result in 7 points, not a touchdown, but those are, like, the kinds of things that really can change the course and the feel of a football game. So, big fan of PJ Hall. Let's get after it.
Real quick, too. No offense to John Feliciano, who we're all a big fan of. Guy does it all. Center, guard. He's just a versatile guy. Even fielded a couple of returns last year on the special teams unit, but I would like to say I'd rather have PJ Hall back there catching than Mongo.
Another interesting tidbit. His coach told us that PJ actually played fullback in high school. And that the entire time he was at Sam Houston State, he kept asking coach, like, hey, can I go, you know, I want to be a goal line back or whatever. And he's like, all right, PJ, all right. And he ended up not letting him do it. But, you know, hey, the more we can get the big fellas the ball, I'm a huge fan of that. Moving it down a little later in the draft. Arden Key, I think we'll get into a lot of Arden Key in the coming days, weeks, and months. Super interesting guy that I think could be, you know, one of the bigger steals of this draft. Obviously, his 2017 production, not where he would like it to be, not where anyone really would like it to be. But you look at that 26, and this is a beast. Arden Key, beast. Nick Nelson in the fourth, a cornerback with a knack for finding the football. 23 pass breakups in his lone year at Wisconsin. Obviously, Coach Gruden joked that he's got to work on securing the ball, but pass breakups, never a bad thing. Okay, fifth round. This is where I think things get really, really interesting. Obviously, right, your first and second days of the draft, you know, critical, really, really important. But if there's one thing we've learned in watching Reggie McKenzie draft the past couple of years, putting together a roster, this dude cleans up on day three.
He really does.
I mean, absolutely.
Jalen
cleans
Ware,
up.
Jalen Rashard, DeAndre Washington.
Yep.
Just guys that don't get the credit they should probably deserve up front on the first 2 days. Not that, you know, they might have been projected there or not, but either way, he finds great value picks later in the
Sure.
The
absolutely draft. Does. I mean, if there's one thing we've learned, like I said, Reggie loves the third day. So we should make note, Nick Nelson, also a third round guy. But I feel like things really, like, I felt like such a change, like almost like a physical change in the draft right around the fifth round. And there is a chance, and we wrote about it earlier today on Raiders.com, that Big Mo Hurst, the defensive tackle from Michigan, might be, if he pans out, and obviously, you know, we hope the best for him just as a person with his health and everything, but if he pans out, there's the chance that this dude could be the steal of not like day one, day two. He could be the steal of the entire draft. And the Raiders picked him up in the fifth.
Yeah. You look at the guy's tape from last season at Michigan, and he just chucks people out of his way. Defensive tackle, bull rushes, gets through, applies pressure to the quarterback, forces him out of the pocket, was originally projected to be a first-round talent, maybe mid to late first round. Arguably, you could make the case that he was the best defensive tackle in this draft. But like you said, his health condition, that caused some red flags that made teams kind of, you know, be wary. But John Gruden said it when he called him. He said, those teams might have had their doubts about you, but we're positive that you're going to be the guy for us.
Yeah. And, I mean, I think we'd be remiss not to mention. So, Maurice Hurst with a heart condition of some variety. Obviously, Reggie McKenzie didn't want to get too into exactly what's going on in his heart, and understandably, it's this guy's business, but he did not pause when asked if Maurice Hurst was going to be ready to rock 100%. He said, yes, he has a heart condition. He's going to get it tested every year. He is going to, you know, take the proper steps to ensure that he's a healthy human being, first of all. But then he's going to be a heck of a football player. So if there's a way, and it sure looks like this is what's going to pan out, is that the Raiders got a first-round talent in the fifth round, which is like, quick clap to Reggie and Gruden. That's just good stuff right there. And he's an exciting dude, a huge dude, a guy that's, you know, comes in with a chip on his shoulder. It's such a cliche to say, like, oh, everyone's a chip on their shoulder. Yeah, but this dude sat for 2 days and was watching guys that it was like, hey, this guy's not as good as me, and he went ahead of me in front of the draft. So I think having Mo Hurst is going to be outstanding for this defense, this defensive line. I'm fired up. Moving on, Johnny Townsend, another guy that I think is going to be a pretty exciting dude in the mix. No offense to Colby Wadman, but I think everyone assumed, and rightfully so, that the Raiders were going to pick another punter at some point in the draft. And lo and behold, the Silver and Black did. Fifth round, kid from Florida. Sounds like he's got an absolute cannon for a leg, really good athlete. And it was a position of need, right? I mean, you can't go in to a season with, well, you'll likely go in with one punter, but I don't know
how to create competition.
Thank you.
John Gruden wasn't going to training camp without the possibility of someone else potentially playing the punter position.
Absolutely.
Johnny Townsend had to come in. It was necessary for us to draft him. He has the talent. It was a good pick. And now him and Wadman are probably going to be the ones competing for the starting
yep.
job.
Going toe-to-toe, and I'm sure will be a pretty fun camp battle. Okay, so they just finish it off. Azeem Victor, linebacker, UW in the sixth round, and then Marcel Aitman. But if you really look at this class, though, and I think when you look at the class, it's going to be billed as a 9-man class, but in reality, I look at it as more of an 11-man class because you add Martavis Bryant via trade, and you also add Ryan Switzer via trade. So I know that you got a chance to ride in with Martavis when you went to the airport. You picked him up. This dude just looks like a wide receiver, doesn't he?
Yeah, that was the first thing I noticed when me and video producer executive Marcus Padilla were waiting for him at the airport. When he was coming down the stairs, he's long, he's broad, he's fit. He's got all the things that obviously you've seen his tape. You've seen his incredible catch that he had against the Bengals a couple years ago. The guy is a freak athlete. His measurables jump off the board. He's going to be a nice fit with Jordy Nelson and Amari Cooper. That is a dangerous trio.
That's fun. That's a fun trifecta. And, you know, I think to be fair, too, a guy like Martavis has had his fair share of, you know, things off the field that haven't gone his way. And, you know, to his credit, too, he didn't, you know, stray away from being asked about that. He said, look, you know, I've made mistakes. I'm not perfect, but, you know, I've learned from that. I've matured. And look, who am I to judge, right? We've all done silly things.
Who doesn't
things.
Need a
yeah.
fresh start in life,
who doesn't?
Man?
We who
all
doesn't.
Do.
And, you know, one thing that I thought was actually really refreshing and I thought was really cool in talking to Martavis is I was kind of joking with him. I was like, oh, man, play the Steelers on Sunday Night Football this year. Like, that's got to be, you got that one circled in the calendar? And he was like, oh, man. He's like, ah, oh, you know, not really. It's, you know, it's really far down the road. And he goes, actually, Ben Roethlisberger texted me this morning and was like, hey, take it easy on us, you know, when we come to town. And you like to see that, right? You like to see guys that obviously he left a positive impression on that locker room. You know, people were sad to see him go. And so, you know, it's a small thing, but, like, I think that's important, right, that your old quarterback, you know, reached out and said, hey, man, best of luck and, you know, we'll see you down the road.
Definitely. And when I went to pick him up at the airport, too, I asked him the same question about if he's excited to play the Steelers. And he said they're all, you know, typical answer. But you could tell there was genuine meaning behind it when he said, all those guys are my brothers, man. I wish them nothing but the best. And, you know, that's good to hear because, you know, he takes those relationships in the locker room seriously. He bonds with those guys, and that's what you need. You got to build team chemistry.
Yeah. And so, you know, speaking of Martavis and this wide receiver group, like you said, Coop, Jordy Nelson, now Martavis. You look at the numbers, right, just playing a numbers game on the roster, and we have 10 wide receivers, 11 with Switzer, and that is about to be – I don't know if there's going to be a more competitive position
no.
group on the team than the guys out wide.
Definitely, and I mean, it'll be – I mean, you obviously know that Coop and Nelson and Martavis are going to be probably the guys, right?
Right.
But I'm curious to see about the guys further down on that list – considering you're going to have to compete on special teams, and that's where you're going to have to make your living, is kind of finding a way to work yourself in as a gunner, whether that be, you know, flying down the sidelines, making tackles, keeping the ball in play. We'll see, man. I think that's kind of stuff that I enjoy in the preseason. I know you're not a big preseason guy, but that's just the kind of stuff where you kind of get to scout a little bit, see who's making their mark, and who can have a bigger impact in other ways.
Right. Competition is never a bad thing. It's not bad. There is no way that fostering a culture of competition and having to earn everything you get is a bad thing. And I think it's only going to pay dividends, positive dividends going forward for the Silver and Black. So the other thing that I want to touch on real quick is one thing became abundantly clear over the past couple of days, and it's that the Raiders are building up those trenches, right? They are building up the big fellas. Colt Miller, Brandon Parker, two of your first three picks are offensive linemen, tackles specifically, and then P.J. Hall, another guy who can fortify that interior rush. And I think when you look at the interior rush, you know, that's one thing that Coach Gruden has said time and time again since he got here. He goes, you know, we need to be more explosive in the middle. You had a guy like P.J. Hall, Mo Hurst, Mario still in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are a lot of guys now who can really not only clog up the middle, but get into the backfield, get after the quarterback, and hopefully make life a little bit easier for Khalil and Bruce Irvin.
You have to free up Khalil. I mean, that's just, we talk about it all the time. It's not a secret by any means, but Khalil Mack is a walking Hall of Famer. The guy's talent jumps off the board. He's incredible. You got to let him get loose so he can unleash his talent. And with these guys that we've added, I feel like providing that presence in the middle, as you said, is going to allow him to get one-on-one coverages and not get those double teams that we see so much.
Sure. And I thought Reggie had a pretty good line. He said he was asked about how are you going to, you know, quantify success in the interior rush. And Reggie's like, well, let me see the sack totals at the end of next year and I'll get back to you. But let me ask you this. So excluding Colt Miller, excluding the first rounder, because, you know, the first rounder is always kind of, he's the guy, right? I mean, he was selected in the first round for a reason. He was selected in prime time with all the, you know, the lights and the rigmarole and the songs, and it looks like they're coming out for a title fight, not going to get drafted. But excluding Colton Miller, which of these guys in this draft class, and we'll keep it to just the draft class, so excluding Martavis and Switzer, which of these guys do you look at and you're like, all right, I'm intrigued by you?
I'll say that I'm most excited for Maurice Hurst, strictly based on the idea that this could have been a first-round talent that everyone passed on, and McKenzie and Gruden were smart enough to go swoop him up. But I'm more intrigued by Arden Key.
That's your guy, man. Yeah. You've been high on Arden Key.
I was watching a lot of tape on him since we drafted him, looking at, you know, what kind of stuff he can offer. And you look at 2016, you brought up how 2017 wasn't the season that he would have hoped for. But you go back to 2016, I believe that was a season that Lamar Jackson won the Heisman. They, Arden Key and LSU played Louisville and Lamar Jackson that season. He had two sacks against him in that game, including a safety. You can see his aggression off the edge. He's a scary dude to see coming down if you're a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing with him, and you know, Coach Gruden and Reggie said the same thing. It was like, you know, he's going to be given every opportunity to succeed here. There's going to be a system in place for him to handle his business on the field, off the field. And, you know, you hope with just dudes like that they, you know, they really just appreciate their chance or opportunity and they make the most of it. Because you're right, when this dude is rocking and rolling, like, yikes.
One more thing, too, is that, you know, we talked about the depth of the offensive line and how you need to have people in the trenches that are going to keep your quarterback clean, open up holes for the running backs. But he talked about the depth of our edge rushers, too. You know, you've got Khalil and you've got Bruce. And those guys, they need to be active in the fourth quarter. And if they're going the whole game and they're getting fatigued, they're getting tired, you got to bring people in who can support them and come in for a third down, you know, give them a little breathing room, just relax and get back to neutral so they can go in the fourth quarter ready to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. So your guy was Arden Key, and I'm going to just kind of piggyback off a little bit and go with Mo Hurst. I mean, you said it pretty well yourself. Dude's a first-round talent, right? I don't think there's anyone that's going to dispute how talented this dude is, what he can do for a defensive line. But getting him in the fifth is like, it's highway robbery, right? I mean, obviously, had some health things that needed to be checked out. It sounds like Reggie and Coach are pretty, you know, confident those things are all going to check themselves out. But if this dude stays on the field, if he's able to produce like he's produced in the past, I mean, this is your steal of the 2018 draft. If this guy comes in and ends up producing at the level that he can produce at. And, I mean, you said it too, you know, the interior rush allows so much more to happen on the outside too, right? It frees up Khalil. It frees up Bruce. You know, the big fellas in the middle, and this goes for the offensive line too, they never get enough credit. They never, 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 never do. And you had a guy like Mo Hurst in the middle, PJ. I mean, you look at the teams that really can dominate the line of scrimmage. I mean, those are the teams that win football games, right? So yeah.
I mean, also to that point is that, you know, this draft class might not be the sexiest group of picks, you know, just in terms of, like, offensive linemen, defensive linemen. They don't get enough love. But I promise you, Raider Nation, you will be the first ones saying thank you for having these guys in the trenches. We need those dudes. They're going to build up a strong front, and that's what you need. We said it earlier, you got to build in the front and work your way back.
Yeah, and that seems to be the blueprint of Reggie and Coach Gruden. All right, so later this week, rookie mini camp starts Friday. You're going to be there throughout the weekend, you know, covering everything. What are you really looking to see, I guess, from that 3-day mini camp?
Energy. You got to come in day one. Obviously, you're excited that you just got drafted, but you've got to come in day one and show that you're not just going to be some rookie who kind of waits by the wayside, that you're hungry. You want to get in the mix. John Gruden's looking for it. He wants you to be able to contribute from the start. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. High energy levels and just being able to compete with the best of them out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's, you know, you hit it right on the head too. I mean, you want to see guys that, you know, guys that come in ready to rock, in shape, ready to do this thing. And I think that one thing too, outside of the guys that are obviously drafted, the 9-man draft class, this weekend is huge for the undrafted free agents. Mm-hmm. Absolutely huge. And, you know, we were joking about how Reggie dominates the third day of the draft. Reggie dominates undrafted free agency too. I mean, you look at guys like Jalen, right? Jalen Richard, a little further down the road, by a guy like Tywan Jones, Marcel Reese, Andre Holmes. I mean, the list goes on and on. And, you know, just because you weren't drafted doesn't mean you're not going to be an NFL contributor. I mean, that's simply not the way it is. So, yeah, like you said, energy, 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 matching Coach Gruden's energy, not getting overwhelmed by the moment, but also these UDFAs, right? I mean, who really makes the most of their 72-hour tryout? So, yeah, great things to keep an eye on. Rookie minicamp officially kicks off Friday. Coach Gruden will be talking on Friday. And we're back in the thick of it, man. We are right there once again.
Rookie minicamp ends, and then soon to be around the corner is OTAs.
We're rocking and rolling, man. And next thing you know, we're going to be packing our bags, heading up to Napa again.
Yeah, it's coming fast.
It's crazy. All right, Eddie Pascal, Kyle Martin, thanks for hanging out with us. Keep an eye out for the podcast that we've been talking about with PJ Hall's head coach, college foot head coach, Casey Keeler. Really appreciate his time. Really energetic guy. Gave us a lot of insight into PJ, what makes him tick, what he's really good at, all that kind of stuff. So, you know the deal. Follow us on Twitter, social, everywhere. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, wherever you like to consume your hashtag content, come find us. And we'll be back with you guys very soon. And thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.